welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. How many of you were at Faith Camp? Hallelujah. That's a lot of you. First time here today. Praise God. You're really welcome, mate. Hallelujah. What's your name? Tom. Tom, it's great to have you here. Thank you. Now, what I'm going to do is Faith Camp is something that a lot of people have just been staying on. This is Kingdom Faith Church. And they've been at this camp for the past week, that lot that we're yelling out. So let's have a few of you guys up the front here to tell us about what a good week you've had. What happened to you? Hallelujah. Who was here? Who was at Faith Camp? Hallelujah. Look, quick, run on down. Here comes Leslie. Here comes Chris. Here comes Brian. Here comes Kate. Here comes Dan. Hallelujah. Anybody else have a good time? Here comes Nigel. Casting babies in the way. Any children have a great time? Want to say something about what a good time they had? Dave's on his way. Look at this. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's get some stories. Oh, this is looking good. Now, you guys at that end, when you get the microphone, you'll have to walk this way a bit or you'll get woo from the speaker standing right behind you, okay? Hallelujah. Well, let's just go down the line and let's just see all the kind of stuff that was God doing. So we've got 12 preachers this morning. So hope dinner's not in the oven. Here we go then. This is Ben.
Hello, everyone. I was at The Move while I was at Faith Camp, which is the children's group. Well, not really children's, youth group for 14s to 18-year-olds. And the theme we had was Know Your God. And I feel like I have come to know God so much more over the past week. Come on. Yeah. And I've learned that it's really important to walk with him. And we've been learning about how to do that, how to listen to him and how to hear from him and how to hear where he wants you to go. And yeah, guidance through life and stuff like that.
Hey, yeah, I'm Dan, and I had an awesome privilege at Faith Camp this year because I was able to speak. I was running three different seminars, two of which were to the university students that were at camp. And it was an awesome privilege just to go and start imparting what God is doing in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire into these young people and just giving them life and giving them new, because some of them come from churches that are boring. And it was just trying to insert, like, God is fun, God is exciting, God is passionate. And that was just awesome.
Hi, my name's Kate, and I had a great week. One of the things that I really enjoyed was just seeing the body working together, whether it was Brian and Shona and Nikki and Steve and the others on the unit who just were helping and, you know, helping just the practical things, putting up tents and just being there for one another. But also in the 8 o'clocks when people were released to go and prophesy and pray over people. And we had a fire tunnel on the last night. We had about 400 people come through the fire tunnel. And they were just blown away by that. And we had testimony during the day of people coming up to us saying, I was healed when I went through the tunnel and stuff like that. So for me, it was just seeing the body at work.
Hi, I'm Chris, and yeah, it was just a brilliant week. One of my favourite things was that the meetings were over by about 8, 8:15. And just gave awesome meetings, awesome times with God, but also loads of time just to chill out together and actually be family together. So I love the meetings, it's all right. But 8 o'clocks were awesome, mornings, evenings were great. Sunday morning was fantastic. And for me, it was like re-racking the balls in the table again. On the pool table, you know, it's a little bit like Ben was saying, getting back in, knowing God, it's a relationship we have with God that is actually what we were saved to in the first place. And everything happens all the time at us very fast. And it was just great to go away and constantly be reminded, come on, it's actually intimacy with your Father. It's a great relationship that everything else flows from anyway. And that was just wonderful to just get charged up again. I say, like, getting the balls back in the frame in the right place, and right, let's start with another frame again. It's brilliant.
I'm Leslie. God gave me a picture of an eye, the right eye, with me in the middle, and it was I in I, if that makes English. And it was about the way I see things and about the way God sees things. And I went to the Helena Croft seminar, which was a bit of a challenge to get there. But, and then one of the things that she spoke out about was There's people in here that don't like wearing skirts. This morning, I got dressed in trousers and like a little short top on that. It's just like, yeah, that is a skirt, God, but it's just kind of like, so I can't wear it short there because I've got trousers on. So I was just putting my pop socks on and God said, I said about wearing a skirt. So it's like, yeah, but I'm going to be late. No, right, get changed. So I've got changed and as you can see, and all the things that like have been spoken at today, just all of them fit together like a jigsaw puzzle, because it's not about the way I see myself, because there's parts of my body that I don't like, and I had to come in repentance because God made my body, and I am going to wear a skirt.
You're very beautiful this morning, Leslie. Praise God. Yeah, I'm Brian, and really just reiterate what Kate said for me as well. It's just awesome at the 8 o'clock, just to see the body working together. You know, you don't have to rely upon the guy up on the platform. You know, it's, everyone has a Holy Spirit within them. And to see the body being activated, the whole team of North Kingdom Faith Yorkshire just went out to prophesy over. I don't know, the marquee in the mornings at the 8 o'clock just seems to be full, getting fuller and fuller. And as Kate said, come the time of the fire tunnel that we did on the Friday morning, I was just wondering where they all were coming from. You know, they just, I thought they'd come around twice, but it's just people queuing up outside the tent and they were just coming in the marquee. And it's just great. It's just great to be part of it and just seeing, you know, the whole body being activated and being used by God mightily.
Hi, my name's Shona. I'm married to Brian. Just for me, I mean, like what Ben said was like really one of the things that God really spoke to me about was like really getting to know him intimately, so you can hear from him, so you can, you know, walk with him, and so that you can allow his life to pour out. One of the things I loved Steve Oppel. And one of the things he said was like, I think it's Psalm 126, where people woke from as if they'd been in a dream, and they're going to tell about the wondrous things that God has said. And I kind of like feel like, yeah, that's this morning. This morning I woke up and I thought, wow, we've had faith camp. It's like, but yeah, it is about telling about the wondrous things he did, telling about how he set my heart on fire with a new flame and a passion to know him, to know his love, and to see that love spread out to others. And yeah, I just absolutely loved the 8 o'clocks, to just join in with everybody from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire and together go out and just bless so many people was just like awesome. And like the fire tunnel was just like great fun. Like Dan said, yeah, it was just great fun. So yeah, had an awesome time.
Amen. Thanks a lot. My name's Dennis, and we stepped out from doing the church unit and went off to serve other people. And a lot of people know that I can't father children. And on the Saturday, all these children kept coming on our unit. I thought, Lord, what are you doing in me? What are you doing in me, Lord? And he said before Faith Camp that he wanted me at Faith Camp. So that was a big challenge in my life, to rise up to what God wants me to have. On the Wednesday, I was asked if I would baptise a lady who was on our unit last year. And it was, I said, have you okayed it with the unit? Is it all right with the pastor? They said, yes. On the Friday morning, I was praying for this lady to, Lord, to prepare her heart for the baptism. And the Lord says, two. And we went and baptised the lady, and I spoke this out. And there was a young man there who knew he had to be baptised. He knew the baptism was taking place, but he went. He went to the football. And when I spoke these words out, that somebody else needs to be baptised, and the heart's thumping in the chest, the pastor's wife's face lit up. And I thought, oh, it's going to be her. But I got back to the tent, got dried off, got changed into my dry clothes. And in that time, she'd rung him up and says, you need to come back here. Nobody can force you to do it. You've got to take that step. And it, like each and every one of us has got to take that step. And he did come back in obedience. And yes, we did baptize him. And we give the praise and the glory to God.
All I can say is, oh my word, how awesome was last week? Well, firstly, there are a couple of things, but I won't talk forever because I'm good at that. I have, or had rather, a jaw that liked to lock on occasion, which for me is a bit of an issue because I quite like to talk and chew things. So, and sometimes it kind of, it get really, really kind of stuck and I'm like, oh, what do I do in this situation? And anyway, that got healed. So that was really cool. But the main thing that God really said to me was that I went to the week with a list of things like, God, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to confirm X, Y, Z. Confirm it, confirm it, confirm it. And every time I went into a meeting, like, we had some awesome meetings, and all we did was meet with God. And what he said to me was that actually, I've already given you your answers. I've already placed stuff within you. So for goodness sake, stop just thinking about it. Stop waiting for me to tell you to do something about it. Just go. Just go and do it. And Pastor Clive at one point was speaking about, you know, go and make disciples. And Steve Upper was talking about, you know, about raising up a company of burning hearts. And during the Revitalize seminars, that was something that really, really stuck with me. And like, I'm a student over at York University. And God was saying that actually, yes, I am raising up a generation that will not compromise, that will go and will not give up, that will go forward and will not look back. And I'm going to stop talking in a sec because I could go for a very long time. But yeah, that God is doing things now, and that now is the time to start acting on what God has said to us rather than waiting for next week or next year. God's like, now, and I will shut up now.
Hello, my name's David. I've only been with Kingdom Faith for a few months, but every day through prayer, my faith has grown stronger and stronger. I had the privilege to go to the faith camp this week, and I'm completely blown away by the experience. I'm full up to here with God's grace and the Lord's grace. The thing that really blew me away was seeing God and Jesus performing miracles with my own eyes. You can be sceptical about this, but when you see it with your own eyes, it really fills you and makes you believe. It makes your strength, the strength of your faith, so much stronger when you're in the presence. When a man goes into a meeting in a wheelchair and he walks out, there were people who had arthritis in their hips, and they were healed, and they were running around the auditorium. They weren't just running, they were sprinting around the auditorium. And that is so strengthened my faith that I thank the Lord Jesus. Amen.
My name's Nigel. I have to confess, before I went to Faith Camp, I thought I just had a camping holiday chance to get the children used to going camping. But when I, I've been in Kingdom of Faith 21 years, and I think it's about my 18th camp, but I actually got surprised by God. God was really there. I think one thing that really blessed me is God is doing a new thing. There's almost seems like a lot of traditionalists have been swept away, and there's a new group of people in Kingdom of Faith. There's a God's raising up. It's a new generation, and it's a new day. And when we got there, there was a whole newness about the camp. They'd reorganised it, and I was very, very encouraged, very blessed to see the wisdom of the Kingdom of Faith Fellowship, the decisions, the management decisions they've made. They put together, I think, one of the best camps they've ever had. On a lower budget than I've ever had, and there's professionalism and there's excellence in what they were doing. We were in Tiny Treasures, and the children got looked after wonderfully well. Had two small children over there, Joshua and Samuel, and it was a chance for them, even though so small, to get an opportunity for God to put His hand on their life. So praise God for that. I also praise God because when I went to the evening meetings, God was there in his grace. You know, it's not of our works, it's grace. And this chap called Steve Uphall from Wolverhampton, who were there, and they were playing off one another spiritually in one sense, because each one of them was just like pushing us ahead, and great vision, great spirituality, and you could just see that is where a human being can get to spiritually, and if God can do it in them, he can do it in us. And you know, for me, because I've been in Kingdom Faith so long, I can literally say, really, one sense, Colin Urquhart's a bit my father, because I've been around since 1990. And he's my spiritual father, but it's a heritage. There's a whole heritage of Kingdom Faith that we've got all these resources, we've got all this revelation and teaching, but if we don't take it up and use it, then what's been the point of it? And you see a guy of 71 years old who's knocking out high quality spiritual books, and I bought a copy of his Major Themes from the Truth. And there's a life in there. We've got an authority. We are actually sat up in heavenly places, and we have an authority. And I can see it in Paul. If you actually look at them, you look at people like Paul, you look at people like Judith Butler, and you think, what have they got that's taken them ahead of the crowd spiritually? And it's because they've come to recognition that they've got an authority, and they've chosen to use that authority. And if Paul's chosen to use that authority to command things to happen in Scarborough, and we've got an authority, we're not in a... I think one thing that came across as fresh is when you see a person in a problem, rather than pleading with God to make a change, we command the change, because we've been given all authority on heaven and earth to command the change in somebody's life. So if you see somebody coming down with severe mental problem or demon possession, rather than pleading that God will change it and never really believing, you command that person to change. And it just gave me great vision of what is this possible for God to do. And I'd be hearing something from God. God would be speaking to me in a meeting. And then Colin Urquhart would then get up and say the same thing. Or Steve Uphall would come and say the same thing. And God talks about me redirecting my life so that I can have the Word and the Spirit at the centre of my life. And I can have we've got one life to live. You know, we make it count. There's a book by Steve Uphall, One Life to Live. I bought that book. But it was, we've got one life. You want to make it count because time's ticking away. Anyway, so I'll give the microphone over to you.
Amen. Thought I was never going to get a chance again. But actually, you know, that was very symbolic of one of the things that you saw at camp that God is doing amongst us. I'm just grappling around on the floor here, grabbing stuff and preaching at the same time to save a bit of time. This isn't my normal preaching position, but at least I am on my knees. Yeah, it was. It's what God's doing. It's the body waking up. It's the body doing what the body does. Oh, sorry, J27, you can go. I meant to send you out after the testimonies. Bye. Hallelujah. That's any children who are 12 and under. You can go out and join with J24/7.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Yeah, what God is doing is the body is being activated to be the body that it's always been called to be. You know, in Christian circles now for years, you've had people that talk about we're a kingdom of priests and there are no lay people and priests and things like that. But people still can walk around with that kind of mentality. Of course, they're different callings and we're called to different things. I mean, Nigel was saying, talking about me stepping out in authority, but also that's part of my calling.
Right.
You know, but that calling applies wherever you are working or doing.
Right.
Whether it's the bus depot, or whether it's, I don't know, whatever job or whatever occupation or wherever you're living, God has given you an authority to change the situation around you. You know, one of the things I mentioned on Sunday morning at camp was something that keeps coming up to us. You know, that the church used to be, we used to think about making an impact. You know, but an impact speaks of running into the enemy's camp and making a quick attack and running back home again.
you know. Or but then we wised up a bit and realised there was more to it than just hiding in the church and running out and saying, Jesus is Lord, and running back home again. And that we needed to be influencing those around us, because what we have is good. Amen. You know, what we have is wonderful. You heard all those stories of, you know, stuff that's been happening. It's great. People's lives get changed. People's lives get sorted.
That's right.
People come off drugs. People come off alcohol. People get healed. Families get reunited. People get that been through divorce get the strength to not just go on with life, but to actually enjoy life. People who are lone parents rediscover that they're not on their own. They have a God who's with them, who says, I will be your husband. You know, what we have is awesome. And suddenly we've moved on from even influence to saying, actually, we're called to transform society. Not impose upon society, but to transform by sharing what we have. Because it's good.
Right,
it's awesome.
That's right.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
And you're using an iPad, Claire. Wow. Yeah. Now, that's spreading. Hallelujah. This is actually, all I'm using this for this morning is the time. Because I forgot my watch. It's rather an expensive one. Hallelujah. But I have got my Bible here. I've got loads of stuff I've got to tell you about. And, oh, there's just too much. Sorry. Hallelujah. And we're not going to run over either. So, hallelujah. If you want to go to Luke chapter 5.
Yay!
Just because it's been Faith Camp, don't think you're getting away with it. If you're a visitor this morning, I've been speaking from Luke 5 for about 2 months. That's why they're all cheering. Hallelujah. I spoke from Luke 5 at camp too, didn't I?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Actually, I also, in the middle of camp, I went up to, I left Peterborough and travelled up to Thirsk, and I went to the Hollybush camp and spoke to the guys there. And you'd be delighted to know that the Kingdom Faith Yorkshire anointing, if you like, was flowing. And we had an awesome night. And Jimmy and Jennifer in here. Jennifer's there. We had a good, sorry? Oh, Jimmy's with the kids. We had a good night, didn't we, Jennifer? Would you say that was a typical Hollybush evening? I will just tell you some of the highlights from that evening, just so you know that you were part of it. Because those of you that were praying for me when I was over there, it was good to have Jimmy and Jennifer there in the congregation in support as well. But what happened was the fire fell, and I'd said about we're not having any ambling down the front, you know, or I'll come down and see what God's going to do. I said, if you want the fire, get down here. And they ran, didn't they? I mean, they're quite an elderly people, but the sticks went flying, chairs went flying, and they ran down the front, and they began to cry out at the top of their voices, shouting and crying, weren't they? And people got healed. There were some specific words for people, and they were coming up to me afterwards and said, that word was for me, I'm healed. The arthritis in my fingers has gone. The deafness is gone. The tinnitus has been healed. All kinds of different healings. People were set free from literally decades of shame to do with people who were divorced and lone parents that knew they were forgiven, but had somehow still carried shame for years and years and years. And do you remember me talking from Luke 5 about the stretcher? If you were at Faith Camp, you'll remember, because I did it again. And the fact that Jesus says to the paralyzed man, stand up, pick up your stretcher and go home. And the stretcher was the paralyzed man testimony. This was what used to bind him. Although it was, in a sense, his freedom, he had to be carried around on it, carried around on the stretcher. And the stretcher had now become a badge of honor, because it showed how he had been forgiven, because Jesus says to him, you are forgiven, and then he tells him to stand up. It was a badge of honor showing that he was forgiven and walking in a new life. And we need to remember that it's not, you know, sometimes we celebrate when someone gets off drugs, but we don't celebrate when someone knows they're forgiven after getting divorced, and we make them carry the stigma of divorce for years after. If you're forgiven, you're forgiven. But even more than being forgiven, you can carry the stretcher. I was divorced. I've been divorced 3 times, maybe. Is that God's plan? No. But you are forgiven, and you can carry it around, and you can tell others, this is what Jesus has done for me. I'm not. You don't carry that sense of shame. So that was that had a very, very powerful impact on an awful lot of people there. And yeah, literally, there was another lady at camp, lovely, lovely lady. I don't know her age, but I think she was in her 80s. And she came to me and said, I've been set free from shame for a daughter that I had in my 20s when I was a single parent. 60 years. And she was so different. I saw her at the end of camp, and she was still so excited, because that was the Sunday meeting. She was still so excited. She's like dancing, and she's telling you stuff. At 80 plus years of age, I know some of you are getting close to that, and you're thinking, what are you talking about? I'm still full of bounce. But, you know, it was just lovely. She said, the other thing, because I've had this shame, this is what she was telling me. She said, I've always thought that I don't need to tell anybody about Jesus. It's like a private thing. She went to a small, quiet Anglican church that's probably had a bomb go off in it today. But because she said, I've realised I'm forgiven, I've got no shame, I'm going to go and tell them about Jesus, I'm going to tell them they need to be born again, they need to be full of the Spirit, they need to be praying in tongues, they need to be prophesying. She was all set free. It's just lovely. Just awesome, you know, to see God move so powerfully. And it was just that one thing, really. She'd known all about God and all that stuff. I probably would have called herself a Christian and probably was a Christian, but still carried the sense of shame. And none of us need to carry shame. Hallelujah. None Hallelujah. Of us need to carry shame. Right. Jesus took shame to the cross. Yeah. We're forgiven. Yeah. It means it's removed. It means it's gone. Yeah. It is no more. Yeah. Hallelujah. Whatever it is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, the church... Not just the church, but the world needs that as well. And that's why we carry the stretcher. See, you're just getting this stuff you've already had before, but it's good stuff, isn't it? Hallelujah. I've actually got some stuff in Luke 6. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get there, though. No, I really don't think we're going to get there. Sorry about that. Maybe just a little bit of it. Just right at the end of Luke 5, last time I was speaking to you on it, we've got the whole bit about the new garment and the new wine. Do you remember that? So Jesus is telling the people that are gathered a parable, and this is what he says. Nobody would think of tearing a patch from a new garment and sewing it onto an old one. If he did so, not only would he have ruined the new garment, but the patch wouldn't even match the old one. Neither would anyone pour new wine into old wineskins. If you were to do so, the fermenting process at work in the new wine would cause the hardened skins to burst, and both the wine and the wineskin would be useless. No, new wine must be poured into new, flexible wineskins. And just very, very quickly, so that we can move on, what we can't spot in English is the fact that when the word new is used, there's two Greek words used, and they're both different. When he talks about a new garment and sewing onto it an old one, the word new is kainos, which means new and of a different kind. Okay? So... But when he talks about the new wine, the word is neos, which means new, but of the same kind. More of it. Increasing quantity. New quantity of it. And then when we go into Luke 6, you see, Luke is a very thoughtful, methodical man. He was a doctor of his day, and he thought things through. And so the stories you get in Luke 6 build on this passage. He's talking about the new wine and that it can't be contained by something old. The garment represents the old covenant. If you're not familiar with the Bible, the Bible's made of two parts, really. You've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they refer to what is called the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Covenant's just a word for promise. And we call it the Old because it was what God promised to humans before the coming of Jesus. And he gave the law. And the law was a set of guidelines and ways to live, really. And if you go back to ancient times, it was a very wise and very sensible guidelines according to the way to live. And what the Bible also says is that because we have the law, it exposes to us what is wrong and what is right. If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't, you know, it would all be sort of like modern society, trying to vote on what's right and what's wrong and changing all the time. And God laid it down clearly for them so that they would know. So when Jesus is talking about the new garment, he's saying, if what I have brought, I just tried to stick on to what you've had before, it would not only would I ruin the new by trying to take bits of it and add it into the old, but it wouldn't match anyway, it wouldn't work. So he's saying this new covenant, from which we got it all written down in the New Testament, is... it's new of a different kind. Okay, so it's a new kind of promise was coming. And that promise was a setting free from the law and an enabling to live righteously, because the law would be written on our hearts. There would be a sense of knowing right from wrong on the inside. But then he said, but also there's wine, new wine. And this new wine was neos. It was more of the same kind. And so he's saying, even in the new covenant, even in the new promise, there will be times of new wine being poured out. And if the church, as it would become to be called, is rigid and inflexible, it won't be able to cope with what I'm doing and what is new. And so the challenge on the church is always to remain flexible, because religion always kills what God in His Spirit is doing. Religion is a man-made invention of rules and regulations. And people in the world are wise to... I mean, there's quite a lot of despising, really, of religion. And a lot of the time, they're right to. Because religion is a restricting, controlling force. We're not about religion in that sense. And so we need to remain flexible. And what God is doing and what we saw at Faith Camp... Here, the guys that came up kept talking about 8 o'clock. Well, if you don't know what happens at Faith Camp, there's lots of big meetings. But very first thing of the day at 8 o'clock, funnily enough, and there was two marquees on site, there's a sort of a low-key meeting for half an hour. That's all it is, just start the day meeting with God, worshipping the Lord. I was leading one of those, and Jonathan Dyke was leading the other one. But then halfway through the week, I just said to the group, we're going to bring prophetic words to you. But it wasn't one leader calling everybody forward. All we just did was I said, everybody who's here from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, come out the front. And they obediently did, bless them, because they're mighty activated men and women and children of God. And I said, right, okay, off you go. We've been doing this in church. We got released in it at the Strong Tower. Go and prophesy over everybody. And they did. And people got healed, and people got set free, and people got specific words that confirmed things to them that nobody else... I mean, I got so many testimonies back. Probably even some of the people that gave those words, you know, it's not been matched up yet. It was awesome. But it was the body. And that's one of the flexible wineskins we have to be in now. We can't... And you think... And it's not actually even on one... It is my responsibility to enable that as a leader. But actually, it's your job. I could restrict it and make it not possible, but I'm not. You know, it's all of us now. All of us are ministers. Yeah. All of us can speak the word in different settings and different ways. All of us can lay hands on and see people healed. All of us can talk about Jesus and see people saved. All of us... need to be opening up our homes and inviting people in and having coffee and tea and meals. All of us need to be talking to people on the streets. All of us need to be making the most of every opportunity. And that's when you get revival. That's all it is. It's just the body is full of God and doesn't want to keep it to themselves anymore. And you might get a bit of ridicule and you might get a bit of trouble, but that's, you know, that's just par for the course. That's fine. It's all right. Rejoice. If you get persecuted, Jesus is saying you're worthy. If you haven't been persecuted yet, I'm really sorry. Hopefully you will be soon. Feeling kind of quiet today. Maybe it's after a week of camp. Eh? Bit of a contrast this Sunday to last Sunday. So we haven't got time to go into any details, so probably we'll pick up on another weekend, but after this teaching of the new wine, you get this little bit. So we'll just look at the very beginning and then we'll cover it on another week. As Jesus, this is the beginning of chapter 6. As Jesus was walking through some fields of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples picked some heads of wheat, rubbed them in their hands and ate the grains. Some Pharisees asked, why are you doing this? It is unlawful to work by reaping grain on the Sabbath. There were 39 different categories of work in the Pharisaical law, and harvesting was one of them. And you can this and what you so what Luke starts to do is demonstrate the small-mindedness of religion. Because yes, even in the Pharisaical law, it was wrong to harvest. But what these guys were doing were just picking up a few grains and eating bits. You know, they were straining to find something wrong. They were taking even what was good on one level, and, you know, having a day of rest, and making it become a burden. And that is what religion does. And this is what we must guard against ourselves and when we're sharing Jesus with others. We're not to impose anything on anyone. If we start imposing rules and regulations on people, we're just doing what the Pharisees did. You know, these are the days that were described as I will write the law on people's heart. This, obviously, the problem with this is people can seem to get away with all sorts of stuff. But not if we're making ourselves accountable to the law, because we will know. That doesn't mean leaders will never bring correction in people's lives. That would just, you know, that's just getting ridiculous. But what we're not doing is trying to make rules and regulations out of stuff all the time. Thou shalt not do this. You shouldn't do this because you're a Christian. Is your skirt long enough? All that kind of stuff. Especially for Leslie, that one. That's a great story, Leslie. It was great because it was a very ordinary thing, but it was obviously so deep to you. And that's what Jesus is like. He rescues you even from what to you that might seem like nothing. You know, Brian here, he's quite happy to wear a skirt. It's called a kilt. Yeah. Sorry for all the Scottish people listening on the podcast. I apologise like that. But for Leslie, it was obviously something important that she's just been set free from. Jesus loves to set people even from the small things that to someone else might seem like, I don't understand, why is that a problem? And yet to somebody else it can be huge. Yeah. You know, Jesus just sets us free from all these things. And it's great that you got that at camp. So you see here in Luke that he's just beginning to expand the whole thing about the new covenant. And he's demonstrating, as Luke's writing down the experience of Jesus, he's showing how that old covenant needed to be replaced by the new. And if you tried to patch on bits from the new onto the old, you just end up destroying both. And in fact, that Jesus was walking and demonstrating and living a whole new way of doing things. But even in the new way of doing things, God will be constantly doing a new thing, and that there would be change. If you're part of a church that never changes, it's not of God. Because the Lord says, see, I am doing a new thing. There should always be change. There should always be things that make us uncomfortable. There should always be things that move us out of one comfort zone and onwards. When we get comfortable, the problem is when you're comfortable, you just enjoy sitting there. And if you're just sitting there, you're not sharing the gospel. You're not making Jesus known. So what God then does is things to make you uncomfortable. That's right, yeah. So it's best to be obedient immediately, because then you don't have to go through the uncomfortable bit. It's a good theory, but I often seem to end up in the uncomfortable bit. Hallelujah. Jesus replies to them, what about David? And he's referring to the David of the Bible, David and Goliath, who became king. He says, what about David? You must have read, and this is in the Old Testament part of the Bible, you must have read what he did when he and his followers were hungry. He went into God's house and ate the consecrated bread that only priests were allowed to eat, and gave some to his friends. So he's saying, you know, you're picking up on something that's really, really... They weren't stealing, by the way. The customs of that day were to leave this grain around the edges of the field for anybody to eat. So there was no stealing going on. It was perfectly fine to do what they were doing. But this activity that David did, he actually went into the temple and they ate this very special bread that had been set apart and was only allowed to be eaten by priests. And yet God didn't get angry. Why? Because they needed it. Human need overrides all regulations and commands and rules. If it's to meet needs in human beings, then it needs to be done. You know, it's not, you don't have to start going, oh, no, if I can do that. We keep trying to impose things on people. Compassion is more important than religion. The religious spirit is petty and vindictive, and often turns nasty, as it does later in this passage. I mean, even with this, if the problem with the Pharisees was that they thought they had all the answers, they thought they understood everything and they could interpret everything according to their written code. It had been well refined. But for us, just beware. If you ever think you know all the answers, you're either deceived or in a cult. If you think you know all the answers, you're either deceived or you're in a cult. Because God is mystery. Brian and I went down to London on the Thursday. Well, we met in London. I came from Thirsk, he came from Peterborough. We went to a meeting of... they were gathering nightlife initiative people. So we do street angels and youth angels. So we met with Stephen Timms, an MP, and several other people. And it was good to sort of network with all these different groups. But one of the things that was key was I was talking to a lady at the meal in the evening, and she came from a Unitarian church, which we probably wouldn't agree with a lot of what they agree with. But and she was horrified to find out that I was a charismatic evangelical leader. That was her box for me. I was, you know, one step removed from the devil, really. And we talked for quite a while, and I said to her, why is it that you feel like that about people like me? I mean, just the fact that I'd come from Faith Camp and described it to her was anathema. You know, that was just hell. It was just a brainwashing camp. I said, so what has happened to you to cause that? And she told me a personal story of members of her family being abused in a church in Nigeria and raped by the leaders, and told that if they left the church they would lose their healing and they would go to hell and all that sort of stuff. And I said to her, well, that's not a church, is it? That's a cult. I said, that's despicable. I said, if what you're telling me is true, that's horrendous. Said, but that doesn't mean that all of God's church that does similar things to what you saw them doing is the same. And I talked about how we, the church, and she, well, one of the other things she said, and people like you, you never mix with other churches, you just think you've got all the answers. And I said, well, we're here. She said, that's a good point. I said, I think we in the church have just got to grow up. I was talking about myself. And realize that we don't have to despise what we don't agree with, and that we can even value people that we don't agree with. You know, for so long it's just been like, I don't agree with that, so I've got to split up. I've got to start my own little house church because we should always... They sell Nescafe and Fair Trade is of the Lord. And therefore, we're not in agreement, so if you aren't in agreement with someone, you can't walk with them, so let's start our own church in our own house. And unfortunately, then, there's four of us, but one couple uses McLean's and one uses Colgate, and so we're not in agreement, so we better start another church. I mean, we're laughing, but, it's not far removed from reality. We have to grow up and realise that our brothers and sisters are in a lot of different congregations in this town, and they're awesome and they're wonderful and we love them. You know, whether they're Methodist by label or Anglicans or Baptist or Salvation Army or Elim Pentecostal or Assemblies of God Pentecostal or Free Evangelical, if they know Jesus, they're our brothers and sisters. And they might have some things we don't agree with, but when I mentioned about a similar thing in one of these 8 o'clocks, a leader came up to me a little bit frustrated, I think, a little bit worried that I'd talked about being friends with Catholics. And he said to me, how can you say that? He said, they worship idols. They worship idols and they pray to them. How can you say that? There's people worshipping idols. and I'm thinking, God, give me this, give me some wisdom how to answer this. And I said to him, no, I can't really answer your question, I said, but I can ask you a question. I said, so you're saying that we shouldn't have fellowship with them because there's this going on in that congregation. He said, that's right. I said, so what do you do in your congregation when people worship the pastor or the electric guitar or the brand of coffee that you have? He said, that's a very good point. He said, that has completely changed my attitude. So praise. He did. He said, that's it. That's completely changed my mind. It was a God one. If somebody else, that might appear rubbish and not work at all, but I just said, God, I need a wise answer. Because we could get into a lovely argument on this, and I didn't want to get into an argument. It might be breakfast. And a cup of tea before the main meeting. Oh, it's just great tight days, where the church is waking up. In the 70s, Pastor Colin talks about the beginning of the charismatic renewal, which he was really closely involved in. And he often talks with great sadness that when it sort of died away, and it's never died away completely because we're still living in the good of it, but there was much more happening in the early days. He said in the early days, nobody cared about what denomination you were. It was all one together. And then we started to get different groups within denominations that wanted to renew the different denominations and control. And in came the 39 rules and regulations of revival. And the whole thing was squashed. And we've had moves of God since then. You know, different things happening around the world. But I think we're now back to where the church was then. And it's almost like God saying, well, you're a new generation. Some of us are Joshua and Caleb's because we were there the first time. But, you know, are you going to go in together? Yes, you've got disagreement, but are you going to go in together? Doesn't mean you chuck out what you value and what you believe and what you stand by. And it doesn't mean you can't disagree. But we have to learn to understand one another and understand why somebody else thinks this stuff. You know, and if they decide they're going to believe something which, as far as you can tell, is not biblical, you just have to answer yourself, is God still moving in their life? And the answer, of course, is yes. So who are you to back off? You're passing greater judgment than the Lord. Now, that's my mini-sermon this week. Hey, that was nice and gentle, wasn't it? Before I finish, I'm just going to tell you about all this stuff, because especially those of you that weren't at Faith Camp, you don't know. So the old leaflet that was about that size has been renewed. It looks like this now. It's called Dare to Dream. This is now for everyone to have as a tool. There's boxes and boxes of these. The company that did them for us misfolded the first lot, and we ordered 5,000. Because we give them all out at camp. And so they sent us another 5,000. So we've got 5,000 that need to be refolded. So we have 10,000 of these. So please don't be afraid about using them. There's quite a lot. There's only one box of them here today, but there's 10,000 altogether. But these are great now for local and nationals to use. You can use these to give to friends when you're inviting them to church. If you open it up like that, it tells you what it is, the guide. As you can see, there's lots happening. And what we're planning and how you can be part of this church. And then it talks about Dare to Dream, our vision. I just had a slight fresh look at it and rewrote it. In fact, do you want me to read it to you? It's good to read the vision now and then. There you go then. Here's what I wrote in the front of this. Something that you'll hear a lot about, it's called Dare to Dream at the top. Something that you'll hear a lot about at Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is Dare to Dream. It summarises our vision and our passion to be the church that Jesus is building now. The word says that God's thoughts about us are more numerous than the grains of sand on every beach in the world. That's a lot of thoughts. If I could just hear a small fraction of them, I'll discover just how much God dares to dream about me. So yes, we dare to dream about the excitement and adventure that God has set before us of being a church where people are loved, accepted and restored. Where the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lonely find friendship. We dare to dream of a church that is growing week by week as people are impacted by the truth, experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and see miracles happening. We dare to dream of a church that equips, trains, and disciples people and is full of God's love, where the tangible presence of God is known and experienced. We see a church that is part of transforming society and brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And do you know what? We also dare to dream of a church that is just great fun to be part of.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So then this little booklet, which all folds out, you see, this is where it all went wrong for the poor guys. If you fold it that way, you've got there, on that bit, an invitation that you can show to people about Sunday mornings. It just says, Dare to Dream, 11 a.m, Stephen Joseph Theatre, and tells you about the fact that there's children work, and says at the bottom, invites you to the big event every Sunday. So that's just something to use. There's stuff about street angels, if you want to give people information about street angels. And then, there's two here, and then there's loads of information on the inside about all the stuff we're getting up to in the next 18 months. And there is a lot, believe me. We're going to see so much happening. So many people saved and healed in the next 18 months. It's amazing. It's been so exciting pulling all this information together and getting dates and leaders and stuff like that, because it's like, wow, God, it's amazing. And so from a local point of view, when you're inviting friends and stuff like that, on this site, on this page here, this page is all local, really. You've got about Lamplugh House there, stuff for students there, and then this local events is all the stuff. Join the adventure, go deeper. It tells you all about God Encounter, 9 o'clock, Saturate, Israel Prayer, where the Spirit teaching days, and all that stuff that happens locally, and a few jazzy pictures of us on a Sunday morning. And then this side is all the different events that are happening, okay? And at the top, you see this one here. It's all been building up to this. Yeah, and I've told you a little bit about that. While we've been away, we've had a few confirmations. That's in April next year, the 20th to the 22nd. It starts actually on the Friday. So if you're somebody who's at work, it'd be really good to get that day booked off now. Maybe if you're in the worship team and stuff like that, you might even want to get the day before booked off if you can. So you're free for rehearsals and practices and everything. And it will start at lunchtime on the Friday, because we've already got two international speakers booked and confirmed. Not one, it says one on all the stuff, but we've now got two. One of them is Dr. James Maloney. It will be his first international booking since he had to stand down for a while. And he actually, I was telling him about the event and asking him to help me get speakers, knowing that he wasn't traveling. And he said, can I come? I'd like to come, because he's so excited about it. So Dr. James Maloney is coming. The other guy, most of you may not have heard his name before. His name's Paul Manwaring, and he's part of the leadership at Bethel Church in California, Bill Johnson's church. So again, that's it was impossible to get somebody, really, from Bethel. Somebody's coming. Hallelujah. That's all I'll say on that one. So he's coming with his wife, Sue. So Paul and Sue Manwaring are coming from Bethel Church in California. So that's exciting. The local church is getting excited about it too. The local leaders are very, very behind it. There's no Springtide conference next year because it's cancelled, because everybody's coming to this. That's a major grace, really, from the rest of the church in town, that they would allow us to do that. One session, I'm just really looking forward to this. God has spoken to me of having all the leaders from all the different local congregations standing at the front together and just leading prayer for the church and the town together. You know, that's where revival comes from, stuff like that. So it's awesome. The spa fits between 300 to 2,000 people. So it's a big step of faith for us, this little church that we are. At Faith Camp, when we were talking about it, I just had so many people saying, we're going to come to that. I'm going to tell my church about that. I'm going to bring a group to that. And it's just one thing that's happening next year, but it's going to be a big one. So make sure it's in your diary. You don't want to accidentally be on holiday at that time, because we're all going to be involved. I don't know how yet, but we'll all be involved in some way. You know, it's a bit like Faith Camp. The whole church just became the ministry team. You know, we can all do something. It's going to be an amazing weekend. We've already booked dates for 2013 and booked dates for 2014, because this is something that's not going to go away. The reason it says it's all been building up to this is because in the way God has been working with us, it's been leading up to, with the Strong Tower conferences, it's been leading up to what is being launched. So, there you go. Exciting stuff, eh? So use those. There's no leaflets for that yet, because we didn't produce them, because we didn't have confirmed speakers. We had some that we gave out at Faith Camp that we're now not using, because already the information isn't correct. If you know leaders, you can let them know that there will be a leaders' lunch with Paul and James as well in one of the local hotels, where we'll eat together, and then they'll speak to the assembled leaders as well. So there'll be special stuff just for leaders. J24/7, the national team that were running the work at camp, they're also coming with a big team to run a children's conference at the same time. So it's going to be exciting, isn't it? I feel like I'm telling you all about events, but I will just mention some of the others. Downstairs, when you go down, as well as these, there's also all of these. This is why I feel like I'm a bit like I'm telling you the adverts, but if I don't tell you, we won't all have the information. So forgive me, this will just take about another 3 or 4 minutes and then we'll finish. So you can get, you'll find this one, Go Deeper, in here. Go Deeper is the new Strong Tower. I felt that God was telling me to change the name, and I'll tell you why. Because the Strong Tower speaks of a gathering and being made strong in the Lord, and that's what we've been doing. And if you remember, God said about making a beachhead from which he would go out. And if you remember in Luke 5, it starts with a whole Go Deeper thing. And so this is what's happening now. This is that we've been gathering in the tower. This is the training to go. All right, and that's the first one in November, beginning of November. Jared Cooper and Dave Gilpin, two major speakers at one conference, so that would be absolutely amazing. And then another one in the summer, which is going to be Clive and Jane, and that will be up at Lamplugh. The Jared and Dave one, we're trying to do the Saturday night here to make them more accessible to the town. But the one with Clive and Jane next summer, June, we're going to do like a church family weekend as well. So there'll be lots of fun stuff to do, and just so that we can all hang out. And we've got this wonderful resource of this beautiful country house. And just thought, we just need to get everybody up there and just have a good time and really enjoy it, you know? So that's what we're going to do. And Clive and Jane obviously head up Kingdom Faith, so they'll come and they'll bring the prophetic word. But it'll be very different to what we've done before. So, hallelujah. There's stuff on there about that. So there's lots of these as well, but there's not so many. You're welcome to take these and give them out as well, though. So there's square leaflets that give you lots more info. There's loads of these as well. This is Days of Favour. Okay, this is the time of year when we gather as the church to seek God. We always sort of, our financial year runs September to September for some odd and peculiar and wonderful reason that's linked with Faith Camp. It's not a conference. If you don't know what these are, these are times when we just gather really to soak in God's presence, to hear from God. We have some times with a worship team, and we have some times when there's just music playing. We'll share communion every day, once or twice a day. Eileen is organising some special Bible study that you can take part in the afternoons if you want to. It's all sort of optional stuff. You just flow in with what you want to do. There's going to be a late night service, a liturgical late night service, believe it or not. Just a 20-minute thing of just speaking truth over ourselves is actually what it is, which I've called Compline, because I thought, you know, let's do a bit of liturgicalness. Never before has Kingdom Fires had a service of Compline. I probably even haven't pronounced it right. But those are there, 15th to the 18th of September this year, and it's got 2012 on there as well, believe it or not. Right, and then the very quick bit. Are you ready? Here's some of the others that you can pick up and use. The Freedom in Christ course. A lot of you have done it already in groups. That is if you know people who want to come and do it residentially at Lamplugh. All right, very intensive for people that want to spend 3.5 days just getting free. True Leadership Course, this is just so you know about it as well. This is for other churches, really, where we'll run stuff for their leadership teams when they're staying at Lamplugh. Marriage empowerment courses. Anybody that wants to get married? Anybody that is married? Hallelujah. If you really want to do marriage empowerment, there's three dates on here. But please do book in for this quick, because we had a massive, massive interest. Five couples booked in straight away for these ones coming up. And there's only room for 15 couples throughout the year. No, 30 couples throughout the year, roughly. And that's if we let in slightly more than we have done. That's 10 couples per session. Okay, so that's going quick. And if you're thinking of getting married, you need to be on it. But as I say, me and Kate did it, and it transformed our marriage. 21 years of being married, 23 now. We've never had it better, have we? Men's summits, you know about them. There's those there as well to give out to men. They don't start till next January. Moed courses, the wonderful Bible teaching courses that, again, Eileen has set up. They're all on there as well. Okay? There's four different conferences on there. So she's going to be busy. Isn't it amazing?
Come on. Hallelujah.
Just have a little look round this church for a minute. And I know there's lots of guests here today, but just have a little look round and think, wow, that really is amazing. Yeah. This bunch. More importantly than all this stuff, these are just tools. More importantly, as we go into this next year, all that God is saying is an increase of his presence, an increase of the miraculous, an increase of healings, increase of people, just increase, 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 increase. That song we were singing, Now is the Time, it's a prophetic song. Of course, everybody loves the sort of double meaning of the now is the time, kingdom faith is arising. I don't know who wrote that one. Probably Pete, yeah. Now is the time for kingdom faith to arise, yeah. Hallelujah, be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.